Barbecue sauce is a uniquely American staple used for marinades, basting, grilling, and as a topping. Ingredients vary, and some recipes are famously secret, but most barbecue sauces call for a tomato base plus lots of yummy additions like vinegar, garlic, mustard, and a sweetener like molasses. I'll be getting to the bottom of this classic condiment, including why it's so popular and why it makes chicken wings so incredibly irresistible. I'm Hootie, and you're listening to Hootie the Foodie.
He may be 12 years old, but he's an expert. You're listening to Hootie the Foodie, Season 2.
My guest today is a business owner whose family crafted their own unique and distinct barbecue sauce back in 1987. Cut to today, and you could find bone-sucking sauce all over the country and as a barbecue staple in many homes, including mine. We will discuss the origins and growth of bone-sucking sauce and discussing the fat-free, fragrant recipe that won the North Carolina Battle of Sauces in 1994 and held the title for many years after. Patrick Ford, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Hootie. I'm really excited. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for coming.
Glad to be here.
Where are you from?
From Raleigh, North Carolina, on the East Coast, about midway between New York and Miami. That's about the easiest way to describe it.
What is your professional background?
My professional background, let's see, growing up in a produce business since I was age 5, working on the loading dock and loading trucks and bagging potatoes. Then went on, grew up and went to college down in Charleston, South Carolina, and got a communications degree. While down there, the bone-sucking sauce was just becoming, we were just commercializing it. And so I used to sell it door-to-door with my Jeep and my black lab up and down the highway.
Wow.
So that became my background, was going in and out of different stores, grocery stores, little retail shops, farmers markets, and selling sauce.
So you were working from like a really young age.
I was. I'm very lucky that I have a family business that I could work in and learn a lot of things. How to drive a forklift at a very young age, drive a truck, and everything else.
Wow.
A lot of great lessons.
What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think of barbecue sauce?
Well, I see a lot of great different types of options. It looks so different for so many people that I just see such a variety of things. The smorgasbord, I guess, is the best way to say it, of many different things. And everybody has their way that they believe barbecue sauce should be. So I just see a whole bunch of different ideas, for different angles, for different people.
So what would you say your way is?
Really like barbecue chicken. Like a little burnt, some grill marks on it, and a little spice to it. And I think that just says barbecue to me.
You're speaking my language.
Good.
Can you share with us the origin of bone-sucking sauce and how it became such a popular brand?
It was my grandmother made a barbecue sauce when I was really young. And my uncle decided that he could make it and make it a little better and kind of modify it and bring it into his own. And so he started doing that. And in doing that, we would have backyard cookouts, family reunions, just any reason to get together. And my uncle would always cook for him. And in doing that, everybody really liked his sauce. At the same time, during that, my grandfather fell ill with diabetes. And he progressively got worse. And my dad and my uncle were going over to his house every day to take care of him. And in doing that, my dad and my mom decided that they should go to my uncle and say, we should all three take the sauce to market. And let's see what we can do with it. Everybody loves it so much. Let's see if we could share it with others. And my Uncle Philip thought it was too expensive that people wouldn't buy it because it was made with such great ingredients. And my parents convinced him that they believed other people would really not only enjoy having it, but would pay for it. And so my mom came up with the name Bone Sucking Sauce, and it stuck. And that's where it came from.
It is catchy.
Yeah, it's hard to find a better name, I think, for any sauce. You know what it is when you hear it.
It's really bone sucking sauce.
That's it.
What is Western North Carolina style barbecue sauce?
Western North Carolina is what most people, I believe, worldwide think of barbecue sauce. It's tomato base, a little bit of tang to it, a little bit of sweet. You got the vinegar that helps break down the meats, but then you also have the sweet factor in it. And then we have Eastern North Carolina, which is vinegar based. And that's a very specific to this area, to east of us. And our products are Western North Carolina style. So it's familiar to a lot more people.
So what's the magic ingredient that is most important in bone sucking sauce?
Wow. Let's see. The magic ingredient, I think, is that we make it with ingredients that most people would have in their pantry. And so it feels familiar to them. It feels like home. It feels like something they may have come across sometime in their life. And it feels local to them because of that, wherever they are.
Has the recipe changed over time?
It has, in the fact of when we first came out of it, we had things like Worcestershire sauce, which had anchovies. So some people couldn't eat anchovies, or they had different things as we became non-GMO. Yeah, we were non-GMO in the beginning, but as we started going through these paths of making sure our ingredients were kosher, non-GMO, you know, gluten-free. So we've had to adapt as we've grown and making sure it was a sauce that all people could enjoy.
Was it difficult to scale production?
I think anything about business can be difficult at times. You know, it's all part of it, but it's how you take it. You can take it as such and give up, or you can take it as that, see it as a challenge and keep growing it. And as far as production go, my dad handles all the production side. He brings it all in, and my mom and I, we're the ones that sell it. And my dad brings it in. And my brother is also on that side. What's that?
And I'm the one that eats it.
Well, there you go. My brother, he works at our produce company next door, and we used to use our trucks to bring it in here from the bottling facilities. We have since outgrown that and now use common carriers and tractor trailers and everything else. But yeah, then we bring it in here and then we ship it out, you know, by the case, by the pallet, or whatever the customer needs.
How did the pandemic affect your business?
My family, we heard that everything was shutting down. And my family, the four of us, my brother, my dad, and my mom and I, called a meeting of our family at work on a Sunday afternoon. And we were trying to find thermometers. We were trying to find masks. We knew that we wanted to be part of feeding people during it. We just didn't know what it was going to look like. And we told our team that if you stick with us, we're going to do our best to make it through the other side. And we got such a great team here that everybody, we worked every single day during that. And so it was really important to us to make sure that our product stayed on the shelf, that people could eat during that. We wanted to be part of the solution, we felt like. That's what we did during it.
Have there been long-lasting changes as a result?
Well, one great thing is there was a lot of people that didn't cook before the pandemic happened. And so you had a lot of new chefs that became chefs all of a sudden that were used to going to restaurants, and all their favorite places closed overnight. And so our recipes had to get very simple to teach a generation and lots of people how to cook. That's, we went to three steps for this, two steps for, you know, four steps, this four step chicken, three step, this just really simple and easy to understand and follow recipes. But yeah, it definitely changed for the good though. I think a lot of people are cooking now that weren't before.
That's really cool. How can I use barbecue sauce if I don't eat meat?
Oh, wow. There's lots of options. There's a lot of people that eat tofu. There's a lot of people that eat plant proteins, and they need sauce on there too. So yeah, anybody that eats food that enjoys flavor can enjoy barbecue sauce. And we even have people drizzle it on as a salad dressing.
That sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Are there creative uses you know of for bone sucking sauce besides barbecue?
Yeah, let's see. It's interesting because when you have a product that so many people enjoy, the customers, our tribe, they tell us things that we would never think of. We have learned so much just by listening to them. I mean, I'm looking around trying to think of it. I think we have over 400 recipes on our website, and a lot of those come from our customers. Yeah, it's so many different uses.
Yeah. We're going to take a quick break, and I'm going to eat bone sucking salad, and we'll be right back with Patrick Ford.
We're back to Hootie the Foodie.
Can you share with us any memorable moments or experiences you've had as the owner of Bone Sucking Sauce?
Well, let's see. First, it's interesting because of our family dynamic. the company that I'm at is Ford's Gourmet Foods, and we actually are the master distributors for bone sucking sauce. Yeah. So the bone sucking sauce is still owned by my parents and my uncle. So I'm in the distribution side of that, although growing up in it and everything else, but this is how our family business is set up. Let's see, most memorable moments. I think one of them was really important to me when I was doing a gluten-free fair in New York, and a little girl came up to me and she asked me if it was true that she could eat barbecue chicken that was gluten-free. And that was a big moment to realize that this little girl and all these other children, which it's hard, as everybody knows, to get children to eat anything, but she was so excited that she could actually eat barbecue chicken. And as a father, that meant we were doing the right thing.
That's so cool. And it's like same with kosher.
Yeah, that's exactly right. A lot of people are surprised when they see the symbol on our product and very excited to see the symbol on our product.
Yeah.
And, it's a wonderful thing.
I know. Absolutely. It was.
Yeah, good. And I remember when we went kosher, and that was a gentleman named Gene Corrigan. He had been talking to my mom and explained all the benefits of it. And we decided to go for it and didn't know what all it would involve and what markets it would affect. We just knew that that was a thing that we could do to help serve more people. And I think that was such a great thing for us. I used to do Kosher Fest in New Jersey. I've done several of those. So it's a market that we heavily support and enjoy being in.
Well, my whole family and I are grateful to Gene.
Well, good. Yeah, Gene's a great man. That was a great step for us as a family and as a brand.
Is it hard working close to family?
It's the opposite. It's a wonderful thing that I get to spend with this amount of time with my family. Most people don't get to see their relatives very often, much less get to see them on a daily basis. And we eat breakfast together once a week in the warehouse. And we're still competitive with each other, but we eat breakfast once a week, like I said. And we see each other every day as well. And it's wonderful because my parents had the foresight to make everything crystal clear when I was 18, if I wanted to come into the business, what it would look like. And it's been a great thing that everything was so planned and they had the foresight to make sure that we understood what our roles would be if we came into.
Oh, that's amazing that you could work with your family so close and have like such a strong bond together.
It really is. It's a gift. Thank you.
Can you give advice to aspiring entrepreneurs looking to start their own food-based business?
Yes, absolutely. Be ready to do a lot of demos, a lot of tasting, a lot of cooking, a lot of traveling, a lot of talking to great people, listen to the feedback that they're giving you. If no one else is doing it, doesn't mean it's the wrong thing. It may mean it's a wide open market for you. But if you enjoy it, enjoy doing it over and over and over and over, then go for it. And don't be upset if you fail. We got a wall of things that have not worked right beside me here. It's part of the business, but you got to be willing to go for it and get back up and do it again.
Has there been a particular mistake that you've made that you've learned a lot from?
A particular one? No. Lots of them? Yes. It's just part of it. There's some things that I felt like were going to be the biggest hit in the world were not. Not even close, but you got to be willing to do it again. And I wish it was a particular one. There's tons of them.
Oh.
I literally have a wall next to me, a shelf of reminders of things that didn't quite work out on the top of it. But yeah, you just got to be willing to keep going. And my mom calls it the earning curve. You got to just be willing to do it and do it again.
Can you discuss the importance of sustainability and giving back to the community and your business practices?
It's paramount that you do that. You have to give back. There's a reason why we're successful. And so you have to pay homage to that. We're a Christian-based business, giving back so much. It's a basis of what we are. We get to the food shuttle, the actual food shuttle here, they're building next to us because we daily give to the food shuttle. My dad was the chairman of the board for the Raleigh Rescue Mission for the homeless. My granddad was before him.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And you got to take care of your community and take care of your people. I think we have over 200 organizations that we support yearly.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And there's some great ones. And we have the easy part. They're the ones out there, you know, making it happen, seeing the people face to face, which is so important.
Bone Sucking Sauce has expanded its offering to include other sauce varieties and seasonings. Can you walk us through your flavor development process and what sets Bone Sucking Sauce apart from other sauces?
Oh, fun. Yeah. One of the most fun things we do here is when we're working on a new product, because we're cooking constantly. We have a couple of test kitchens here and also grills and all that. And the most disappointing thing here is when we finish a product, because everybody, we're done cooking for a little while and everybody's really kind of bummed out. And we say, okay, that's a wrap. Let's move on. Some of our really fun products would be our mustard. We have a jalapeno sweet spicy mustard. Wow. That won the national championship. Yeah, it's really good. And then our original mustard won the world championship.
Oh, really? Oh, my God.
At the Mustard Museum in Wisconsin. We got a honey habanero wing sauce, which will make you sniffle, but then you'll keep going back for more as you're the whole time you're eating the wings. We have a steak seasoning, which was, that's my dad's recipe, and it is out of this world for brisket or beef ribs. Let's see. We got a chicken seasoning. I'm looking on the wall next to me here, too. A lot of great seasoning and rubs. We have a yaki, teriyaki, which unbelievable on fish. But yeah, lots of fun items. But we've been doing it for 30 years. So we've had time to develop products. And we only come out with product if they're so good that we want to share them with others. We don't just come out chasing a trend. It's got to be something that we really believe in.
I have to try all of these sauces.
I will make sure you do. I'll send you a big care package.
What makes original mustard better than other mustards?
Wow. I think it's just the blend of ingredients. Again, they're all things that you could have in your pantry. And it's just the sweet, the tang, the organic vinegar in it. Oh, man. It's got a little bit of brown sugar. I mean, it's got a lot of good flavors and notes going around in there.
Can you share with us any exciting new projects or flavors you have in the works for Bone Sucking Sauce?
Well, let's see. One that we just now launching right now that we're getting ready to go to LA to the Expo West and show off is our all-purpose seasoning. And it is a simple thing. It is a garlic, salt, pepper with onion, and it's blended together. But it's so people can easily make a dish, or it's the base of a soup or anything they're cooking. It's the things that people go grab different jars of. So that's something we're working on right now and in the middle of launching that. So that's kind of fun for us. And I hope to see you at the LA show or the Anaheim show. Maybe you can come down and get a pass. We'll get you in if you can get down there. Okay, well, come on down, man. Love to have you.
How do you see Bone Sucking Sauce evolving in the future, both in terms of product offering and growth as a brand?
I think products will slowly keep adding new items as we feel like we want to share them. Nothing in a hurry. We always say we don't hurry into disaster. So we'll slowly keep coming out with products. And as a company, just keep helping our community and keep serving people. I think you serve people, that's the best thing you can do. We keep producing a consistently quality product and just taking care of our customers and our people. I think that would be the goal of any company.
Where can we find you online?
Bonesucking.com.
To my awesome audience, thanks for listening. I'd love if you shared me with your family and friends. I'm Hootie, I'm hungry, and you just listened to Hootie the Foodie.
You've been listening to Hootie the Foodie. We hope you enjoyed the show. We'll be back soon. But in the meantime, make sure to like, rate, and review in your podcast app. And follow on Instagram @HootieTheFoodie. Till next time.